Hey there. With each episode, we want to make sure we're bringing you conversations worth having. So in some cases, this might mean taking a pause until there are tracks on the charts around which we do have insights to share. That said, there is something worth noting. Anuv Jain's Husn is officially at number one on Spotify's Daily Top Songs India charts, making it his first release to reach the pole position and a landmark moment for independent artists. Late last year, we sat down with Ayushman Sinha, the founder of Represent, which manages Anuv, to break down his streaming success. Through a combination of community building and a sharp focus on measuring metrics that matter in the long run, this analysis of Anuv's success is a masterclass in how artists can build a fandom. There couldn't have been a better time to revisit this conversation in which Ayushman tells us how Anuv became the streaming sensation he is today.
Company Represent, on whose roster Anuv is. Welcome to the show, Ayushman.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good, we're very excited to have you here.
Yeah, it just so happens that you're joining us on what happens to be our anniversary episode.
Yeah.
Y'all made me the anniversary special. I'm so excited. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, considering that,
and
you know,
now that I've said it's the anniversary special, it has to be branded as the anniversary special.
Batteries out here. Today is the day, and, you know, like, very serendipitous that we actually found out about this thanks to email marketing. So people who think email marketing don't work, take that. But no, we really couldn't have thought of someone better than you, man, to have on the show.
And considering we've been wanting to have you on the podcast for a long while, it's perfect timing. It's also perfect timing, as we mentioned, because Barishay just crossed 200 million plays. It also happens to have been the 30th most streamed song of 2023 on Spotify.
It reached I didn't know about that.
See, this is why we need to limit.
I don't know if you guys saw, but Spotify published their top 50 songs playlist, and this was number 30.
I just wait for you to put the short version of it on the
Instagram. We wait for the Amit version. We don't.
So it's going to be, well, you'll hear more about all of this next week when we have our special year end show. But
which is not the anniversary special.
Absolutely not. It is this one.
Yes. Anyway. So like we mentioned, Anuv is probably the only guy who's not signed to a label apart from Ritviz, who has had multiple hits on the Spotify Top 200 chart. And this week he has three songs. Also at number 103, there's a new peak for his 2020 song, Alag Aasman. He's carved a niche for himself as one of the most sensitive singer-songwriters in the Indian independent music scene, one who can pretty much be said to have crossed over into the mainstream. But Ayushman, obviously the first question we want to ask you is, why has Anuv managed to do what many other Indian artists, even some of them on your own roster, haven't been able to? There's, of course, the breakthrough success of Barishay, but what else has contributed? For example, has he really reaped the benefits of strong playlisting support, or has he basically mobilized an already very strong and dedicated fan base and, like, you know, just directed them to go and stream his songs?
I think Anuv's been the best example of community building that there is. And we've seen that across the board with a few other artists, like, for example, MC Stan, who's again got an extremely engaged audience across platforms. So we started working with Anuv in around 2020, and he had just put out this song called Maula at that time. That was the first project we did together. At that time, he was at about 18,000 Instagram followers. Today, he's at 900,000 plus. So we've seen that entire journey going upwards, and we've seen a lot of things. We've honestly tried to study it as well, because it's like this one unicorn case in our lives as well, right?
Yeah.
So there's a few things that we've learned from it. Number one was just being a great storyteller. He's not narrating someone else's stories. He's not talking about anyone else's lives. He's talking about his own life, his own experiences. I feel like when people find relatability in an artist, that is the strongest. That is the strongest sort of suit one could go for. People try to write a romantic song. People try to write a breakup song. People try to write about various different things. But if it comes from your own personalized story, and if people can really relate to that, I feel like the magic hits a lot more. So I think that was number one. I think COVID played a great role in discovery for us, because there were no releases at that time, we were able to get really good playlisting at that point, which got him the initial discovery which got him into more places. After that, what really worked for us was touring. There was this entire time where reels from all of his shows started going viral. We did this one massive show in Delhi where there were about 21,000 people. That became a really big talking point as well, and a lot of content was created from that show as well. So we saw a lot of virality from that moment. There was a point where he became an internet meme as well, where every guy was trying to figure out why a girl would listen only to this one guy called Anuj and what is so special about him that my girl is giving him so much attention. There was also a time where his song Gul had a lyric that said Toote Makan, and that ended up becoming an Instagram meme as well. And that all of these things happened very organically. We didn't feed any of these things. There was no meme marketing campaign that was targeted towards it. I think it was just organic fan community that really, really blew up. People loved his personal stories and they found this connect with him, which worked really well for him. Editorial was very crucial in the initial days to sort of bring that initial discovery. So a lot of that was props to editorial support across the board. At this given point, like if I take Husna as an example, we're sitting at less than 7 or 6% of editorial contribution, which is extremely healthy from a tracks point of view. So you're not over-indexing too much on that. Algo hasn't kicked in yet as well, which is again a very strong sign for us. We're at just 5% of Algo right now, which just means that release radar has only been activated. It's not entered radio yet. It's not entered the daily recap set.
If you don't mind sharing, and you know, like percentages if you can, but if you can't, I'll understand. But Amit won't understand. What is the source of the streams for Husn right now? Like, if it's not Algo, is it by search? Is it by playlisting?
I am more than happy to always share. It is
I'm glad you asked the question this time.
Yeah. The last time Amit was asking me how much money do your artists make and why do they make so much money?
And I remember like, has the government employed you to audit us?
Yeah. So if you know about Spotify for Artists, they have a pretty nice dashboard that gives you a lot of information. I'm reading out from that right now as I speak to you. So his own profile and catalog contributed to 56% of streams so far.
Oh wow. Okay.
26% comes from listeners adding it to their own playlist and library. 2% is coming from your third-party curated editorial playlists.
Mm.
So there's a number of these that are available across the platform, and they have a lot of traction as well, but only 2% is contributing to that. 7% is coming out from Spotify's editorial and personalized playlists. 5% from Algo and 4% from others, which are your smart speakers, TV, etc.
It's very interesting, like 50% plus have come from his own profile, which really goes to show how important it is to actually encourage your fans to go follow you on the platform and actually be there, right?
So there again, I have a really interesting insight for you.
Okay, say more.
This is not just people who follow him.
Okay.
So there's also a release engagement metric that Spotify for Artists has now started showing for certain releases. Mm-hmm. And we were lucky that we had this open for it. Less than 8% of the people that follow Anoop on Spotify have streamed the song in the first 10 days. So, okay. And I was studying this right before we sort of got onto this call because I knew I'm talking to Amit and it's going to be...
but for a change, he's not asking all these deeper questions because we were like, oh,
I think he purposely did this, but
that's a great... notebooks, everybody.
But so that gives me a 92% unserved audience just from Anu's fans that I now know I need to activate and possibly help push the chart position further. Other than that, of course, all of this data is really helpful for us to go back to Spotify and re-pitch to them saying that it's on 6 playlists right now, out of which 2 are sort of hero standout playlists. This is probably now the right time to add it to a Hot Hits or to add it to any other editorial that their editors might deem fit, because it's clearly doing really well. It's just been about, it's less than 2 weeks, I'm guessing, since the song is out.
Mm-hmm.
It's 10 days today since the song is out, and it's already at 5 streams per listener,
You know,
which is massive.
Go ahead.
Sorry, and just one last Okay, no, you can go on and then I'll add that later.
No,
No
I was
problem.
just saying that something to just sort of call out as you were sort of talking through this right now, right, is what I really loved is you're using the data to go back to platform and give them more data that they can use. And I think this is important for a lot of people to hear because very often the effort is you do a pitch when it releases. And you know when it may not get picked up because obviously like editorial playlists do wait for other signals before they can think about playlisting it themselves, and that's usually where the effort stops. And then there's a lot of, oh, this platform doesn't work for me, or this platform doesn't work with me. But it's very important for listeners, especially artist managers or artists who self-manage right now, to do what Ayushman just said, like look at your own data and go back and repitch, you know.
100%. So there's obviously going back with the number of listeners to number of streams. I think that's a very strong metric that everyone sort of looks at, and that's possibly since we honestly don't get access to skip rates, and I wish we had access to that to be able to actually go and give them the metric they look at the most. But we can give them a listener to stream ratio. We can go and tell them geographies where the song is popping. So to test it out in those at least, because they have personalized playlists in which they could try that out. Another really cool thing that we've seen with this release in particular, and it's blown my mind when I saw it, was that so it out of every fourth listener is saving the song, meaning they're downloading it or adding it to the library, which is again a great indication. It's not a metric I've seen before. To have every fourth listener do that is massive. It's also giving us proof that since the add to library feature is probably not available on the free tier anymore, it means that a lot of premium accounts are finally streaming this, so more royalties, yay. But also the fact that the premium movement is moving forward as well, I think it's a good indicator of that. If I'm not wrong, that free users aren't allowed to add to their library anymore.
That's great news overall, I think. But one could also say that Anup's success has bust a few myths. I mean, we've spoken about this a lot, how basically musicians are constantly told that they need to put out like a single every few months. He has released 11 singles over 5 years, and and yet he is amongst the top 200 artists on Spotify in India overall. Another track of his that we didn't mention, you mentioned Gul. That's another song that has was on the charts. And sort of has peaked at number 76, which is pretty decent, and it's got over, almost 90 million streams, I think, at the moment. So, would you agree that basically that's not always the case? I mean, you don't always have to be on this endless sort of hamster wheel of like release after release.
I mean, you don't have to be on that, but it's great if you can be on that, because the more catalog you put out, the better it does for you, the more there is. But there's also a completely different school of thought where you wait, you put out very limited music, and you see how that does. So it's honestly each artist for themselves. Whenever you're comfortable, depending on how much time you really need, you should put in that much time. Anu spends like 3 to 4 months just writing every song. There have been times where he's been stuck on a single line for a month, and we wonder that why you still stuck there. But then when he comes back with it and he's got it absolutely right, and we see the kind of love the song is getting after that, I think it just justifies everything. On the same time, there are other artists who can dish out a song a day, and they're ready to put that out as well, and they're equally good in quality. That's doing equally well as well. So I wouldn't say there's any right or wrong to it, but as an artist, just find the balance which you feel is right and stick to that consistency, or work to better that consistency. Don't go under that. So if Anu goes below 3 songs in a year, I think that's going to be a bigger problem versus doing maybe 4 or 5 songs.
Yeah, you really can't take subjectivity out of this, you know, like, and he found that number three for himself.
Well, he's only released 2 songs this year, though.
Which is why he had to really
I
want to push one more out.
mean,
Oh,
I
neither.
think there's
You heard it first here.
Well,
it
there's
won't
another one
happen.
coming soon.
No,
No, I.
it's
No,
holiday
because he.
season.
So,
There's no.
you know me, I sort of did this. I noted down exactly how many singles he's released over the last few years. In 2018, he released two. 2019, just one. 2023, his most active year. 2021, just Gul, and
Oh,
that's
great,
sort of the
Ayushman. You,
biggest
as his manager, said the
hit.
number is three.
2022 he released two, and 2023 he released two. Which is why I'm saying
I can tell you for sure that 2024 is going to be a lot more from Anu across the board. So.
Yeah, so I mean, because I just feel like, you know, there's always, like, I read this the other day, it's like, today it's no longer about, you know, having a hit single, it's about building a catalog, like, you can have, you know, whatever, multiple songs doing X number of streams, and that'll bring enough money. But, like you said, I think at the end of the day, it also depends on the artist, but also, perhaps, when you think it matters of where the artist is in this stage of their career, like, he's already got this massive fan base, he knows that when he releases something, he's going to get a minimum amount of, like, you know, attention.
Honestly, no. Honestly, you can't force art out of someone. You can't tell them that you have to put this out. So let them take their time. Let them take their space. Depending on when they feel they're ready, it's good to go. I think a lot of times artists spend too much time to think whether they've gotten it right or wrong. That sort of they should have someone to bounce that creative feedback of themselves to just make sure that where it is good enough to go with.
Yes.
And just push it out then. But there's no need to keep following either formula. You can stick to what you feel is right.
I guess, Ayushman, because you also manage artists who are in varying different stages of their career, right? And like to Amit's point, like Anu has built this community over a very long time, right? Like we remember his lockdown days, him doing those Instagram lives, like, you know, consistently people will be turning up even though it's just, you know, a black screen. He's put in the work, right? And now he's sort of at that stage where he can do what you're saying, that he can take his call and be like, hey, for me, I only want to put out these many tracks. That community already sort of exists to come to him. Obviously, all of them may not come within the first 10 days like you kind of pointed out, but eventually I think they will, right? But do you think that that same subjectivity can be true for someone who's just starting out?
I'm sure it can, because he also had just started out. He's not very old into this game. He's not someone who's been doing this for a very long time. And his story is the same, right? Amit literally called out how many songs he's put out in each year, and I think three was the highest that he chanced upon. So his journey is proof enough to show that you can go slow. And he didn't blow up with his first song, or he didn't blow up with his second song. His song Barishay also started to do a lot better many years after it has released. It had released.
Yeah. So 2012 it released, and 2018 is when it took off. Yeah.
Like slow burns, right? They're like, a lot of tracks are slow burns, right? Like it takes it time for it to find its audience.
I have a song called Dhundhala by Yash Raj, which released, had a peak when it started charting in Pakistan, but didn't have any movement out here. Then suddenly started charting in India, did extremely well, broke the top 50. And it's still doing about 200,000 streams in a day. So, and this is all about 18 to 20 months after it had initially released.
And so, increasingly, there are more of these.
Exactly. And I think that entire release cycle, that you're going to have a peak within the 6 weeks of your first release, of the release date, I think that's sort of disappeared. You can no longer really plan for marketing to have that impact in that much time. You need to be a lot more patient with it.
Yeah, or you need to have a song that's just seasonal theme, so every time it rains, people start streaming it.
Or like Christmas.
Or you can have Ranbir Kapoor on your film and it'll probably get you 10 charts.
Yeah. No, but the music of Animal is pretty great. Like the movie
is offensive than the film. Yeah. The music is far less offensive.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen it. No spoilers, please.
Even I haven't seen it either.
Haven't seen it, but I've read enough about it and I've listened to the music. And yeah, the music is downright inoffensive. In fact, some of the tracks are like pretty standard. But you know, it's like your standard sad love. So it's
Now I want to bring this back to Husn. Okay, like we just spoke about like slow burns, and a lot of tracks take their time to find their audiences. And if anything, we've realized that there's no such thing as a hit or a failure that you can decide in a track's lifetime in its early days. It can very well be a hit. The time might not have come, right? And increasingly, there are more of these. But Husn, on the other hand, I think, within the first week it released, it is within top 200 of Spotify. It's on top 30 of Apple Music, right? Which is kind of rare in this, you know, age of slow burns. So what are your theories on why this track has kind of picked up the way it has?
It's his best song till date. And I think he and all of us are very confident of the fact that it is his best song that he's put out till date. So we knew for a fact it would do well. We were honestly scared about the chart position. I never spoke to him about it, but I spoke to my team a lot about this, that because Spotify is running Wrapped, Apple is running Replay, a lot of old catalog is going to be surfaced up front and center. Yeah. The notification, which was normally reserved for a new song by an artist you follow, is come will probably be replaced by Spotify's Wrapped campaign right now as well. So the amount of real estate available on the app, which is already so crowded, would be really low right now. And I was really scared that it wouldn't happen. But then two things worked really well in our favor. Number one, obviously the song is incredible. So people streamed it on repeat multiple times. The second thing is he's on tour at the same time. Mm-hmm. So as soon as people saw him performing it, he started performing it many weeks before he even went on tour. So people had already got a sense of it and they were actually singing it out before the song was even out at one of his shows. Right after that, we had a lot of social media content that we filmed around the song, which went live on the socials, and that really peaked as well. Right now, we spent zero money on Instagram Reels, but just as of yesterday, his Instagram algorithm has kicked off as well. So he's getting about 500 to 1,000 reel creations every day. Just as a context point, I used the Husno audio on one of the reels of him performing on my own social media, which was at 30,000 views for about a week. And just as of yesterday, it's now crossed 300,000. So the algorithm for the song is really kicked in. It's getting people a lot more discovery. It's going to be a lot more front and center right now. So all of these factors together obviously resulted in stronger streaming, but his community is streaming five times. So I think that's a very strong indicator. So.
That's really great. But I also wanted to ask, like, you know, speaking of slow burners and sometimes not every track taking off, Antariksh, the track just that released just before this, that didn't hit the top 200, right? And that's like, it hasn't performed to the same level. What are your theories on why that didn't take off any much? And because, I mean, let's face it, that was a bit of an experimental song. He's like, you can say he's rapping in it almost, right? I mean, he's singing so fast.
I will tell you what happened. Okay. That is my favorite Anuj Jain song. And anything I like a lot, this is what happens.
Akla, please don't like any of my songs. Yeah.
You know, I think Husn is like a return to a signature sound almost. Right? This is the classic Anub sound. So do you think that's what, and you know, obviously the impact of touring has definitely, like, I think amplified it. But so what are your theories between the performance of these two different songs?
I think you already said it for me. It was a more experimental sound. Mm-hmm. Maybe people weren't so used to, like, they weren't ready to accept him in that particular space just as yet. It doesn't mean that he's going to not do that again. Mm-hmm. He definitely will when he feels it's right. But I think that's the only thing. It was a bit more experimental and it didn't, at least the audience which we marketed to, maybe we went wrong, or that the audience we marketed to were his core fans, and maybe we should have found more Akilas who love that song to really drive that. So I think I didn't find the right audience yet. But then again, hopefully it's a slow burner, which at some point will. At the shows, we've seen people give it love again. So I'm pretty confident it'll have a new life.
The other thing that we also kind of wanted to touch upon, right, is it's very telling that of his catalog, I think he has one English track, right? I think it's Ocean.
Yeah.
And that one has, I think it has not yet crossed 10 million. But all of his other tracks, most of them are well beyond. And do you think this says something about the languages in which content and music is being consumed in this country?
Definitely. So breaking an English song is obviously going to be very, very difficult. We haven't seen that happen so far, especially from an Indian artist. It's something we all hope is something we're able to overcome at some given point. But at this point, I think it's very Hindi, Punjabi, Telugu dominated. And hopefully we're able to break beyond that soon.
Yeah, and you have seen like artists do very well on the live circuit, even if they're performing in English. I mean, Kayan is one of the artists that you manage and she sings
absolutely
in English. And so, I mean, she's one of the most booked acts, like I think among female artists, definitely. But you don't,
we don't have
that,
the playlist ecosystem for that kind of music yet as well, right? There's very limited ones. Even the very limited ones are very, they have a very small following. So even for it to get more discovery, it's very difficult. And till it doesn't get more global support, it won't get the stream numbers to be really able to break into any kind of charts out here. So,
but when you say global support, I mean, isn't, like, for instance, isn't something like an indie India that's supposed to be language agnostic, right? But do you feel that, it tends to lean towards Hindi?
I mean, it is language agnostic, but if you put an English song right up, the chances of that playlist having a higher skip rate is going to be a lot higher. So the editor very rightfully so would not make such a decision and maybe put it way, way lower in the listening order where it doesn't really hurt the algorithm. So
yeah.
No, I think this has been, like, honestly really insightful. And, like, I mean, I feel
I
like
I have
this...
one other data point for you, which I think is really
all
cool.
The data points.
So I went through almost all our catalog to see which are the tracks that have really stood out and what was common for all of these. And this is only from a Spotify lens. So the one thing which we saw, which stands common for any of the songs that have broken charts, is the listener to stream ratio has always been 8 or higher.
This means that each listener is streaming 8 times. Is that
eight
correct?
Times. Yeah. So every time that's happened, we've seen something that's crossed north of 75 million streams and has really strong affinity. So I think getting people to stream your song 8 times, or if you're seeing a song being streamed 8 times, that probably is the one you should put down more money on. We're currently 10 days out and we're at 5 streams per listener with Anu. And I'm pretty sure we're going to cross the 8 bit very soon. But yeah, this was a common factor I saw across all the releases because I wanted to have as much data ready to
all for it. Mr. Thank you. You understood the assignment.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
And, you know, this is the other thing, how Anub, I think, is an outlier, because I remember when we did our live podcast at All About Music, he was talking about how this number, this 7 to 8x, you know, streams per listener, is more common with hip-hop and Punjabi artists and not so much with, like, artists, you know, in, like, say, Bollywood or, like, pop. But, yeah, I mean, he's a singer-songwriter. And I think the common factor I think he mentioned, though, was, like, you need to be making your own music. You need to be, like, if people are writing their own music, that's when they build that connect. And I think this goes back to what you said right at the very beginning that, you know, I mean, he comes from a place of authenticity. And I think that's the main connecting factor. And I know that word is, like, flung around a lot. But with him, I think it's quite, you really
it's
sort
apt.
Of like, yeah, it's really apt. I mean, just when you see him on stage and, you know, you see this guy. I mean, he's not packaged, you know.
We've kept it as simple as it gets with Anu. You'll never see too much happening around him.
Yeah. And I think that's
what
his
not the person he is.
Fans appreciate.
When he's on stage, he's a single guy with a guitar. And he has about 5,000 instruments in every audience, which is the audience's voice. And that's all that he needs. They sing his songs louder than him. They are everything that he needs to put a show together. Nothing else really matters. So it's a very simple show. We don't over-index on anything. We keep it as simple as possible to resonate with him as much as we possibly can.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's amazing. And, like, it's just so incredible to see what he's achieved in such a short time. And obviously what you and the team have been able to do to support him and his true vision, not really change him for who he is, you know. And I think a lot of fans don't know what goes behind in the management of an artist, but they are very grateful to you for it. And we are very grateful to you for being on the show and also coming ready with the data. Like, we love all our guests who do that.
Exactly. I think I'm going to sit back and actually take some notes. Because
Now you're,
I'm going to get a message in a couple of weeks saying, hey, I'm working on this story. I need screenshots.
Oh, it's either that or if there is a loophole in some of your numbers, he'll message you saying, you know, that thing that you said.
If there is a loophole in my numbers, then Spotify is to be called out. Reading out of Spotify.
And this is how the industry collapses because Ahmed finds a mistake. But no, seriously, genuinely, thank you so much for coming and really coming prepared with, like, the best data and the best stories. And we really couldn't have had anyone better than you for our unknown anniversary episode. Yeah. But
they knew about this all along. They're underplaying it right now. Other guys don't feel bad for not being invited to the anniversary episode. This is my moment. I'm going to own it.
Maybe it is a conspiracy theory, but Before we sign off, everyone, you know, do check out the poll section right below this episode. If you're on Spotify, there'll be a poll. Last week, also, we ran one where we asked everyone, why is Bollywood generating fewer hits than before? At 14% each was decreased demand, reduced attention span, and it's just a phase. 57% said it's increased competition. And if anything, this conversation makes me believe they're all right. The rise of independent music, amongst many other things, have really, really shaken up the Indian music industry. So this week, we want to hear more from you again. Why do you think the independent music scene has grown the way it has? We'll leave the poll right below. Please hop in there, drop in your vote, and we will share the results next week when we will see you again for our year-end special.